We are here. I'm off on pump to say, welcome. The Boss Fest Podcast.
I don't know. Just say it's Wednesday and it's the Boss Fest Podcast. Like, I don't know if there was some class that maybe there was a master class and all of you have joined it and you feel like you got to say things three times to get people to like come to the live. Like, but you don't have to do that. Equivalent of tagging 99 people in a post. It's what do you mean?
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going live and you're whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, here's whatever I got. You don't got to be like, hey.
I apologize.
Welcome. Like,
Kevin Butler. I'm not upset with the people who tag 99 people in the post. Do your thing. Do whatever you got to do to generate energy and engagement. So for us out there that got to say, welcome. Hey, yo. Whatever we got to do. Welcome to the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today on this Wednesday? Listen, I am excited. I'm going to say it three times just to piss you off now.
You ain't even gonna piss me off. Like, I'm just literally saying that it doesn't need to be done. It's not gonna phase me one way or another. If you want to say welcome three times, then I guess do that. Like, click your heels and do whatever it is you're finna do. Three times is your magical number. I'm just telling you, I don't feel like it's needed.
Well, I'm gonna do me, you do you, and we just see where we at with that.
Fine with me.
Hopefully everybody else is having a great Wednesday. Hopefully you are getting to the money, getting to the bag, chasing your dreams. Today, I said it three times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna stop messing with you.
It's not bothering me. Like, I don't know what you think. I'm just literally making a statement to you. But if you want to you know, drag it, by all means.
I'm not trying to drag it. I just think people talk about things that either interest them or bother them. It's one or the other.
I talk about things I notice, and I was just telling you it's not unneeded.
Got it. So today's topic is connections are the new currency. Let me say it correctly. Connections are the new currency. And I'm only doing it two. See, I messed it up the first time, and I had to say it right the second time. That's why I did it two times. But I believe this to be ever true, ever so true, because as we navigate through these spaces, I'm learning that the more people I'm connecting with, the more people I can engage with, the more opportunity is out there for me to expand, grow, not in just business, but in personal relationships and things of that nature. So I truly do believe that connections are the way that we get further along. And it's been documented proof that some of our best moves in business and in life has been through the connections of people who are at our level or above our level and different things of that nature. So I think it's going to be a great topic to jump into.
So if connections are the new currency, right, and you're trying to level up on, you know, your bank account, let's say, so can some connections be the equivalent of, like, food stamps? You know what I'm saying? Like, the bad connections. You know, because everyone's trying to be like, oh, I'm well-connected and I got the good connections, but are the not-so-good connections the equivalent of, you know, like, food stamps or a WIC card? You know what I mean?
I haven't met a bad food stamp yet, so you got to break it down to me.
I'm just literally saying, like, in the level of things, right? So obviously, food stamps been the same. Are you saying you haven't met a bad food stamp yet? But if we're all trying to get to the bag, and let's say, you know, whatever the end goal is, if it's $1 million, can you have bad connections? And I guess that's basically saying, like, your network, because they say your network equals your net worth. So if connections are the new currency, can you be in the room with the wrong people, which are basically lowering your net worth?
Possibly, but you ain't gonna know that until you actually get into the room to discover what are potentially those, I wouldn't even call it bad connections, but you know, you got to filter that thing out. But I know that every time I go into different spaces, interact with different people, I'm finding ways to grow and expand. So as of right now, I won't say I've had any bad connections, or I've had connections that hadn't cost me too much money, but I don't know. I feel like connections are the currency.
Yeah, you just repeating the same thing, like the connections are the currency. Like, so it's not really saying any substance. So let's be for real about it. Like, you've never had any bad connections. Like, to me, that just doesn't sound truthful. So are you saying that you never met a person that you thought was going to be one way and they turned out to be another way? Are you saying that you've never met a person that didn't bring the value that you thought they were going to bring to the room? Like, to me, that just doesn't seem like accurate information. There have definitely been bad connections that you've come across. While we're all looking for the right connection, I'm like, be for real, though. Every connection that you met or every person that you've interacted with didn't mean you well and didn't help level you up.
Possibly, but you know what? Since it seems like I'm struggling with this topic, why don't we bring on somebody that can help me out a little bit, right? Since you're saying I'm just repeating the same thing.
You're just repeating it. Like, we might as well just count to three. Like, why don't, you said it 1, 2, 3 times.
So instead of me sitting here struggling, why don't I bring on the connector herself, right? I'm going to bring the connector on, and maybe she can help me out, and we can have a better conversation. Coming to the stage. The one and only.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Hello, how are you?
Yep, yes. We hear you. You're okay. Good. You're okay. In the building.
Good. Thank y'all so much for y'all patience. Today has been a day. You know how it can go as an entrepreneur trying to juggle 4, 5, 6, 7 different things. So I do apologize about my tardiness.
And the only people who knew you was late was the people who just found out about it.
It's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's something I try to be transparent about, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with time management. And so I'm real transparent when I talk about my schedule. I'm like, I'm a stickler for being on time, but I'm always late. It just, I don't know. Time is not real. I just don't feel like time is real for real.
Look, before we get into it, because I was going to talk about time, but take a second and introduce yourself so that way the people know who you are and what you do.
So this is always, like, lately I've been finding this kind of difficult for me, but let me try it. And the reason why I say difficult is because I do so many things. And, you know, sometimes you'll leave things off. You'll be like, oh, I do this too. But anyway, I am Tamika Taylor, the connector. By trade, I am a licensed cosmetologist. I own a salon in Winter Haven, have held that salon for about 12 or 13 years. So I consider it a staple in the community. I currently do a lot of different things. I have an insurance license, so I can help you secure life insurance, IULs, annuities, help you get some retirement, because as entrepreneurs, we usually don't have that because we're not connected to corporate. I'm in the daycare industry just a little bit. And the reason why I call myself the connector is because I've had the opportunity to experience so many different businesses. Not that I'm an expert in every business, but I've had my hands in a little bit of everything. I've met people who really have a knack for those things. So what I like to do is connect people to the necessary resources that they need to take their business to the next level. I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all. I've just done a lot and experienced a lot. So I would say one of the key points that I would like people to know about me is that I'm real big on collaboration over competition. I'm really big on not gatekeeping. I'm really big on someone who believes in, if I know, you know, and it's not going to take anything from me. So I do a lot of things, but in a nutshell, I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother of 3 grown children. I am a grandmother. They call me Gigi, so ain't no grandma over here. I have 4 grandchildren. And I'm just someone who loves to see people win.
Yes. Absolutely. Look, you did say a lot of things. So I want to point out it's some major things, but it's important to say I connect you to the people. So I've done a lot. I know a lot, and I can help you get to, you know, the next step. Like, that's huge.
Yes, because people think it's always about the person. Like, for instance, Edwina, I know that your background is in, you do some grant writing. You may not know all the things about grant writing, but I'm sure in your back with your background and with you writing grants, you've met people who know a little bit more than you or have a little bit more insight in certain areas. So you're not always the go-to person, but you are the go-to person when it comes down to your field.
Yeah, I'll actually say that. So why you brought up the grant writing, actually, our go-to person really is Kevin. So people honestly don't know that. So like, I had to take a class to catch up my knowledge to where his is. Because when we first launched our business, it was like, I'm going to be transparent. We were doing some notary, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to throw some grant writing in there, and I'm going to help support what this looks like. And I was like, well, I got to take I got to take some classes. I got to figure this out, you know, because I need to know too. And so that's how, like, you know, that became. But a lot of people saw my face. And when you look at, like, social media, because he won't do it. And they were like, oh, so you're the one. And I'm like, I'm really just the one sitting beside the one. Because when you look at, like, what our expertise are, we're now bringing together two businesses into one. I am really a person that is going to help you scale your business. Yeah. So I am a sales leader, and I manage, like, the manager, if that makes sense. So if you're a CEO in your business, I'm going to help you build a sales team and help you attract people to that. But he is the knowledge behind the nonprofits and creating that business. And a lot of people just don't know that, because as he's right now just sitting there like,
You never know who's in the room.
You never know, right.
I heard when women talk, don't interrupt. So.
But he likes to call himself the Grant Boss. So there
from time to time, from time to time.
Okay, okay. I like that. I see where you're going.
But yes, and I mean, but what you said is 100% true. Because as you're learning in this entrepreneur game, like, you always learn something new and you get connected to somebody else and you're like, ooh, now I know this and I can arm myself with this particular thing. But maybe the person that you interact with needs something a little bit different than what you can offer. Yeah. And it's so amazing to say, I can connect you to the next person rather than gatekeeping. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm in an environment or if it's a season, but it feels like sometimes you can be in a place where it feels like a lot of gatekeeping and you're like, who are those people that really will share? And like you said, collaboration over competition. Like, I feel like there's a lot of collaboration at the top, but so much competition at the bottom, which is so weird, because we should be collaborating at the bottom because that makes it easier to get to the top. But why are we fighting? Like, it's so much money out here.
I think a lot of the reasons why we fight is because some people just don't know their lane. It's just like the highway. If you want to be in the fast lane, get in the fast lane. If you want to be in the slow lane, get in the slow lane. Whatever lane you need to be in, find your lane and stick with it. I think so often we spend time looking at somebody else's paper. And just because you can do the thing doesn't mean the thing is for you to do. So instead of us, if we would just stay in our lane at the bottom, we would then find out what other lanes we could collaborate with versus trying to jump in that lane. And I think that's a lot of where the competition come in, is that I can do a lot of things. I can do wigs. But guess what? The girl who just did my wig does a better job than me. So guess what? I stay in my lane with silk presses. I do what I know I'm an expert at. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You may be able to do a lot of things, but can you do all those things well? And where you can't do them well is where you need to find somebody who does those things well. And it's like a puzzle. I was talking to a client today. It's like putting together a puzzle. Every piece has a place to make the big picture and make the vision come together. And if everybody realizes, I have something, you have something, you have something that we can bring together to make the vision come to place, without feeling like what the big vision is overshadows my vision, will be better. People, like, for example, with the daycare, that's my daughter's business and vision. But I saw the legacy in her business. And when she sat down and she made me understand, you don't have to tell me too many times that this is something that can be for my great, 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 great grandchildren. So I saw where she lacked in business. She doesn't like to talk. So I'm a person, I'll go in the room, hey, how you doing? I'm Tamika Taylor. This is what I do. So I got into the business to be strong where she's weak. She make all the money, you know what I'm saying? So how beneficial would I be, and this is my daughter we're talking about, but it happens, if I said, well, I know what I can bring to the table, but this her table. I don't want to bring bread or butter to her table because she got bread. Let her get her own butter. And I think that's what a lot of people miss. It doesn't matter how small the thing is that you bring to the table, you're adding value in some capacity to help the big vision come to fruition. And that's just what it is.
you said that so well, because I was going to say, and I might say it wrong, because Kevin, no, I want to be like, man, ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. But why everybody trying to be like the star?
Right.
Everybody got to be like the head. And I'm like, just sometimes it's easier to share, because when you're bringing that piece, like you said, the puzzle to, you know, you're bringing your piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. There's so many pieces and there's so much more money that we all can get now because we have a full puzzle, opposed to you get a piece over here and I get a piece over here. And I just don't understand why people don't get that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wish I could teach that and instill that while we're still, like, you know, still growing.
Yeah.
How much further could we be?
Yeah. And what I learned is when you stop and you try to get people up to par, we hold ourselves back. And I could remember praying probably about 2 weeks ago at WEMA. And I remember the Holy Spirit mentioning to me, whispering to me, you're not where you want to be because you said that you wanted everybody in your immediate circle to be straight before you took off.
Ooh.
Ooh. So if I'm waiting on everybody else to take off, and I verbally voice this because our words have power, guess why I'm stagnant? Because everybody around me not doing what they need to do. And everybody that's around you doesn't believe in themselves like you believe in them. So what are we waiting for? We're waiting on somebody who doesn't even have the capacity to see what you see in them to do something that they're never going to do. And then we feel guilty about soaring because we have taken advantage of the resources. We have taken advantage of being in the room, but yet we want to wait on somebody who doesn't even take initiative to even use the free resources that may be available. So I think we got to start thinking twice and being more, what's the word they call it? Vetting the people that we want to take with us, as well as we vet the people we allow into our room, because that will make the difference.
Yeah, you're saying a lot right now, boy. I was getting my hair done too, and I was watching a podcast. I wish I knew the name. Something about Kings, but it's like a podcast with just black men. And Tyler Perry actually said this. He was like, "Don't put everybody in your boat and then try to swim across." He said, "Build your boat. You make sure you can get across, and then when you come back to get people, you get the people that are worthy to get in your boat." And you saying that is a huge thing, because you want to take everybody with you, but sometimes you put people in your boat and they putting holes in your boat.
They putting holes in your boat. Yeah.
And now you're like, I don't understand why I can't move forward because I'm doing everything, but you're doing everything. Meanwhile, this person that you think you're supposed to grow with, you really were supposed to leave behind.
Right.
And that is huge.
Yeah. That we got to get okay with leaving people behind. We got to be okay with that. You know, everybody cannot go. And there's going to be some people whose feelings are going to be hurt. They'll be okay. They will be okay. Yeah. So I'm 44. And that's what I'm learning just in these recent years. Because when you are a giver, when you are someone who believes like we do in collaboration over competition, I don't see any competition. I don't see my helping you or me wanting to see you on a higher level is a bad thing. That's a good thing. Right. It doesn't take anything from me. But I'm learning to, like, if you don't want it, okay, I'm moving on. Because there's somebody out there who does. Somebody out there who sees your value. And those people will take advantage of whatever it is that you have resource-wise. They'll take advantage of that. You ain't for everybody. That's my thing. We're not for everybody.
That piece right there, because I have been the villain in a lot of stories. People look at me and first they be like, oh, you look mean. But when they like interact with me, they're like, oh, you different than I thought. But then I somehow become like, wait, now you're the villain in this story. It just be a whole thing. But it's because you don't move the way that people expect you to move. And everybody's not supposed to go with you. And
everybody's supposed to go.
I just have become okay with being the villain.
And that's fine. However you want to, like, I told my friend, I said, I'm not explaining myself no more. I'm done explaining.
That part.
I'm done. Either you come in or you're not. And if you know me, you know I'm not going to take you down no dead end. Either you come in or you're not. I'm not explaining myself. I'm not explaining my moves. If you think I'm the villain, then I'm the villain. You know, let's go. But I have stuff to do, so I don't have time to keep trying to disprove your accusation. I am who I am. And the easiest way to sum it up is, I'm not for everybody, and it's okay. It's really okay. However you want to sum it up, I'll be that definition for you.
Well, I'm going to ask you, so now, like, you're seasoned in business, but take me through, like, when you first started, like, just to get this insight, because, you know, people who are first starting in business have different levels of insight than those who have been through some things. So, like, what were some of, like, the trials that you had to go through to get you to this point?
So first of all, I didn't know what I was doing. Coaches and mentors, they might have been around. I'm sure they were, but it wasn't the language in my rooms. Yeah. I wasn't in those rooms. I was in a position where I met a lot of people once I started, but what they were talking about, business, all that was going over my head. Because I'm getting it from the mud. You know, I'm using my income tax to start my business. I'm getting my furniture from the Goodwill. Yeah, so people see the glitz and the glam now and the gold wall and the botanicals. But, baby, we were sitting on some hand-me-downs and some the Goodwill, okay? I made it do what it did. And I just really, I knew that I did not want to work for anybody. That's what I knew. And so I just came up with a plan. I knew I wanted a salon. I knew I didn't want to go work at Smart Cut. So I got all the people that I knew together, and I said, y'all going to be my model. And from there, I lunched around back to school because that was kind of my marketing. I lunched around back to school. I knew everybody was going to need their hair done, teachers, nurses, and all of that. And I started with two clients. I didn't get a full clientele. There were two people coming to my house before I went and put a down payment on a building. Two. And they were getting relaxers. And back then, relaxers probably was like $60. So I had $220 clients that put me in the position to say, I'm about to open my own salon. And that's what I did. And I was just telling my daughter, I'm like, I was rich off hair for real. So when I tell people the different ways that they can strategize in their salon during slow seasons, selling packages, like I just sold a $1,000 package to one client. I'm not trying to work hard. I'm trying to work smart. So when I tell people these things, I tell them, I started from the bottom. I started not knowing anything. I started with a little bit of money. So I can't even remember what kind of car I was driving at that time, but it wasn't, you know, 2020, whatever year we were in, you know. So I tell people in the beginning, you're not going to know it all. You're not. But as long as you have faith and you don't mind doing the hard work, it'll happen for you. And all I did was I beat the pavement. I did guerrilla marketing. I used to get in the streets. I wore blow dryers and scissors on my ears. Like everywhere I went, they knew I did hair. And so that's what it looked like for me. I was always in my business. I was always marketing my business. I was at conferences. I was doing I was a vendor. Like anywhere that I could put myself in a position to be seen, that's where I was until I got to where I was doing 15 and 20 clients a week, where I was so tired, I couldn't take no more clients. So that's what it looked like in the beginning. It was scary. It was real scary. In the middle, it was okay, but then it'll get back scary. So it's a roller coaster. I don't care how many years you've been in business. I've pivoted a few times, but beauty has always been my foundation. And even now, I'm in what most would call a slow season. But I've learned to replace my slow season with another stream of income. So it's not always going to be pretty, but as long as you don't give up on the ride, you could definitely be rich off whatever it is. I took care of my kids. Hair, I wasn't married. Hair did it for me, but I was not scared of what was ahead of me. Lights done been cut off. I go to the shop now, forget to pay the light bill. So it's a struggle sometimes, you know, trying to juggle all those things. But in the beginning, it looks like you're getting it from the mud. In the beginning, it looks like it may not work. In the beginning, it looks like, did I make the right decision? I should have kept my job. But if you stick with it, I promise that God will see you through. And then you'll be like me, still got the salon. We made it through COVID, still have the salon. Again, maybe experience a slow season, but God sustains my business.
That's an amazing thing to make it through COVID, because a lot of salons did not. A lot of people had to close their doors because of that. So kudos to you for being able to do that. I didn't even know that hair had a slow season. So I didn't know salons went through that, because I mean, in whatever season, we still out here, I thought, you know, getting this hair done and wigs. So that's surprising to hear that you guys have a slow season.
Yeah, it's a slow season. Usually for me, because I did a lot of natural hair. So nobody's wearing their natural hair in the summer. Everybody's getting braids.
Okay.
So I didn't do braids, but guess what? Money still came in my salon because I had a braider. You know, so I learned how to pivot where I still was making money in the slow season. It was some slow seasons. I had to go work. I remember I had to go get a job at Amazon just to get it through those slow months. But what I learned how to do is when I realized what my slow months were, I prepared for those and I would put my rent or my expenses back for those 2 to 3 months that I would usually go and try to pick up another job. But yeah, I think every business has a slow season. You just figure out how to pivot. You figure out something else to do. Mm-hmm.
That's important to say, because when you're following your dreams, it's by any means necessary. Because, you know, like a lot of people, and I see this in business, it's like, okay, 2 or 3 months, I ain't popped. So, like, this wasn't for me, and, like, maybe I should quit. And it's like, if this is your dream, you got to give it time. Like, you have to go into this. And I know people see, you know, the Lambos on social media and people be popping running out. Mm. Right. I'm like, you really don't know the background behind that. When you get in some of these rooms and you see these people, you're like, wait, that's your car? Because I thought it was a Lambo on the video. I thought you got in a private plane. You don't really have that. So it's like you live in your life based on what you see, and those people really don't have those things. Mm-hmm. But you have to give it time. And even those higher like entrepreneurs that we see, they 15 years in, 20 years in, you just seeing this part of them. You're not seeing the grind before. So I think it's always important to highlight, like, hey, there was a grind before you see this.
Right.
Grind, and I know how to pivot and I keep going because this is my dream. Because a lot of people just give up.
They do. And I can say I've done that too. I'm currently working on a project that isn't getting the attention that I wanted to get. But I made a promise to God, because, you know, one thing about being an entrepreneur, we don't do anything in our own might. So every vision, every dream that I can just easily just say, oh, let me do this, I know it's a download from God. And so I had to begin to tell myself, like, who are you really letting down? You're asking God to expand your finances, to protect your money, to bring more money. And then he give you an idea that'll generate income. You done did the numbers and everything. And then because it didn't jump off on your date, you ready to give up. And so I said, you know what? Not this time. I said, I'm going to run it. I don't care if I get one student. It's a cosmetology after school program. If I only get one student, I'm going to work with that one student like it's 10 students in that after school program, because I need to show myself worthy to God that he can continue to download into me. That just because I don't get the check when I think I want the check, because, you know, rent be due, car payment be due, insurance be due, you know, that I'm going to be patient, because he's never forsaken me. Anything that I ever put my all into, it always blossoms. Not in my time, but in his time. So sometimes we don't give God a chance to do what he said he gonna do, because we want to rush it. Because again, we got bills to pay. But if you trust your provider, you work the vision, he's going to help you get it to fruition, which means the money going to come. So that's been my mindset lately, like not giving up because I feel like I'm letting down God. And how many more ideas is he going to give me for me to keep throwing away because they're not happening fast enough?
Right. Not happening on your time. So I'm going to take a pause because you talked about what your project was. And there are a lot of educators that may come across this podcast. Y'all listen, y'all share it. Y'all tag somebody who can use this. But there's a lot of kids that after school don't have any place to go, don't know what to do in the summer trying to get a check. Mine just went to what the Career Source thing was. And she was like, I wish I had a skill. She in college, like, what skill could I have had so I could get this check? So tell them about what this is, because there's a lot of parents that maybe don't even know their kid needs this and can use it.
So I started, a little bit about the background, because a lot of people see stuff and they think you just started yesterday. I started the Glam Dolls Beauty Academy in 2018 before COVID. And it was a very successful program. The sheriff, Polk County Sheriff's Office on 42nd Street allowed me to use their community center. And I brought a lot of young girls like your daughter who were in high school, getting ready to go to college. At that time, Florida required a braid license. So my girls who were 16 and older, I got them their braid license while also teaching them in an 8-week program how to braid. It warms my heart because some of them still reach out to me now, showing me what they do. Some of them have their cosmetology license. Some of them just did their braid license and worked through school. But the benefit of that was some of my parents were struggling. So me teaching them this skill and showing them how to charge properly for that skill and how to market that skill took some slack off the parent, especially for my older girls. And so that allowed them to become a young entrepreneur. So fast forward, COVID happened. My last class I was holding at the top of 2020, and they shut us down. So Glam Dolls Beauty Academy was null and void. My girls, I had about 5 girls in the class. We couldn't do it anymore. So I let it go. I really did. I let it go. But coming back full circle, God will not let me close my salon. And then God put my daughter in education. So I'm working in the daycare, but we can't do after school because we have capacity. So I'm like, well, what can I do to create an after school program that's not just helping with homework, that's not just babysitting, but that goes with what I already do that comes easily? And so we were already talking about doing after school, like culinary, hair and things like that. But, you know, time ain't real. So it didn't happen. So I'm like, I got this space over here. Let me do a cosmetology after school program where my goal is to not only occupy your child while you may be working or going to the gym. I'm going to help them with their homework and I'm going to teach them a skill and I'm going to show them how to turn that skill into money. So the Elite Beauty Academy cosmetology after school program is for ages 8 years old to about 14, because I'm looking to target elementary school and middle school. When they get to high school, they don't need after school, but they still can come through my program. And so it's from ages 8 to 14. And I'm sitting right here at my desk. I literally have an entire curriculum for them that runs them through 12 weeks. I don't play. When I do stuff, I don't have to do it. I give them workbooks. Like, it's a mini cosmetology program that I created that are on their level where they learn all things hair. So when they finish with me by the summertime, they have a skill, depending on their age, that they can make money and help buy school clothes. So we work with Career Source folks too. We work with them. We had some phenomenal interns this summer. And it's also a program I plan to introduce to Career Source folks, because it's a skill that you can easily turn over into revenue. And there's no there's no age on this skill. You have 8 and 9 year olds that can braid really good. They can charge $40 and $50. So not only do I teach them that, I teach them self-confidence. I teach them, you know, we talk about bullying. I deal with a lot of things that the school system probably touch on, but can't really focus on. So I incorporate all of that into the program as well. So they're learning a skill while also learning how to start their business, while also learning how to build their confidence. Because if you don't have confidence with your business, how are you going to put your business out there? So, yeah. So the program, it starts on Monday, which I believe is September the 15th. It is from 4:30 to 7:30 in the afternoon. It runs through Christmas break. We break on Christmas and then we come back after the new year and finish it out. Just as we run the whole school year. But yeah, and we take them through a full cosmetology program, but on their level.
No, that's amazing. Like I was saying, my daughter is now a sophomore at Bethune-Cookman, and I'll say every other roommate or like every other dorm room, somebody got a service that they're doing, whether they sneak in doing nails, somebody doing hair, somebody doing lashes. And I'm like, Eva, you wait, what your skill is? We don't have nothing. And she doesn't have a thing. And knowing this, like kids being able to do this, like when they go off to college, like that's the extra free money. Because the amount of money that parents are spending, like, and especially now in this season, I'll just leave it at that. In this season, it has gotten really expensive. Because we got a tuition bill that would like make you lose your mind. But it's like, if you have that thing, you can still go out. You can still hang with your friends because you're collecting your own money. And I don't think as parents, we realize, like, sometimes we don't think in the long term. Because if I would have been like, ooh, let me think about what her future looks like, this would be a perfect program for her at middle school to have this. And at the summer, instead of her being like, let me go to Career Source, she could have been posting some things online with some summer sales and just getting her money and working however she wanted to. So it's a perfect investment. And when I saw it, I was like, dang, you know, obviously it's a little late for me because she's gone, but it's a perfect investment for a parent. So that's why I wanted you to be able to share that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll say this. My daughter came through my program at 15. She got her license at 16. When she started making money, she was clearing easily an extra $1,500 to $2,000 a month.
That's crazy.
Like, literally, like she was. You know, every month wasn't good. But for her being at home, she could pay her cell phone bill. They like wigs. She could buy her wigs. She could buy her sneakers. Like, she could buy all the extra things that she wanted. Yeah. That didn't fit in my budget. So that's why I try to get parents to look at. And then too, it's $100 investment a week, right? At the end of the game, you've given your child the opportunity to start a business and you've done it at a very young age. So you're introducing them to options. They may get to where they do the hair. Then there may be somebody who creates a culinary after school program. They may do that. But I believe that college is not always the answer for every kid. while we as parents should find out what our children are interested in, right, so that we can invest in them.
No, 100%. I agree. College is not for every kid.
Let me jump in.
Don't force them. Okay.
Listen, y'all been on the road, so I ain't want to slow it. I ain't want to slow it. But you did touch on something that intrigued me. Like you said, you've done several different things and different businesses. Who was that person, or who was it that you saw that made being an entrepreneur make sense for you? Like when me and Edwina started doing business stuff, like I think it finally clicked when we seen some of our close friends doing business. But my parents, they was entrepreneurs. My mother, she ran a daycare. My father, he ran ran several businesses, a restaurant in Winter Haven and things of that nature. But it wasn't until when I seen them doing it, like it's like I could do it, but it didn't make sense. But it wasn't until I seen people my age or our age, our friends, make that connection. Who was that person for you when you was like, man, I know I don't want to work in nobody's job, but who was that influence that you like? That might have been my motivation.
It would be two people for me, okay, and two different influences. So my first person would be my mom, my mother. She was a working woman. That's what she instilled. I'm going to work. She used to make me cry because she's like, I don't understand how you, girl, you need to get a job. Like if I would go to her and complain about the slow weeks or whatever, I don't even understand. So I knew by seeing her work like that, I didn't want to be tied to a job. Like she didn't have no freedom. She couldn't go on vacation like she wanted to. It felt like to me, she was a slave to her job. And ever since I was a little girl, I had a big imagination. When my mom would cook dinner, I have two sisters. I would say, hey, when mama cook dinner at 8 o'clock, we're going to be in China having dinner, talking about these businesses. I've been a mogul in my head, right? In my little world, I've been her. And so seeing her work hard like that and not have time to spend with us except for on Sunday, a trip to McDonald's, I'm like, I don't want to be that girl. I want to be able to spend time with my kids and, you know, take them out, like fly them out of the country, take them on cruises. The second person that influenced it was a friend of mine. Her name is Christine. And I can't think of the name of her salon, but she started a salon first. Me and her had talked about doing it together, but I was still working at Publix. She ended up starting a salon. I moved away. I came back. I'm at her salon, and she just like, Tamika, you can do this. And she would say, you smarter than me. I'm like, girl, whatever. It ain't about being smart. It's about having faith. And so she just kept pushing me. And she opened a salon in Winter Haven. She had two locations. She let me run the location in Winter Haven. And the first weekend I opened, this was before I opened my own shop. The first weekend I opened, I made like $800 in one day. And it was over. I ended up not staying in her salon because she let this guy come in there that didn't have a license. And I was a real stickler for having everything in order because I had all my ducks in a row. So I didn't want to be a part of that. But those were the two people. She definitely further influenced me to know that I could do it by seeing her actually do it.
Okay.
That's amazing. Because I guess there's always like a backstory to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like somebody has to tell you. But you hit, like, I was like, oh, I don't want to get emotional. Because when you talk about your mom for so many years, and Kevin, he knows, like, I have this thing about that. Because all we did, like, people will be like, we don't even know where you came from. But that's because all we knew is you're supposed to go to work and come home. And that's what we did.
That's all we were taught,
That's all we were taught. And we were like, okay, we got to move up in this job. We got to be the boss at this. And, like, we've been in Polk County, like, pretty much our whole lives. But people are like, we don't even know where y'all came from. And that's because that's all we knew to do is to go to work and come home. And then when COVID hit, I was like, dang, when I think back and I ended up losing my job I had been at for 15 years, I was like, I've lost so much of like my children's lives. Like I've missed birthdays. I've missed so many things because I felt like I had to give it all to the job to try to like elevate myself through that. And so you talking about your mom, I was like, that hit home, which people don't even understand. Like that's why we move differently, because when you feel like you're trying to do this for the future and you really are like missing what's now, you got to move differently. Like I've lost a lot of time that I'm making up for. Yes. And I want to teach my children. They don't have to do what we did.
No,
like there's a different path and there was nobody to show us that path, but we want to show it to you. So that was just a huge thing about your mom working. And you said, I didn't want to.
And my daughter, she told me not to interrupt. She called me she probably had been a year in business and she was just like, she sold because she had a baby at 20. She had her first baby at 20. She was a substitute teacher. And when I said that was the hardest working pregnant girl I knew, because I was a sorry pregnant woman. I ain't going to even hold you. Like, I was sick. I couldn't do nothing. So, look, pregnancy, no ma'am. But she worked at Geico. And what she was experiencing was I had to help her a lot with her babies. I had to pick them up and do this. So she ended up going into daycare. She didn't really talk about it a lot. But what she told me was this. She said, Mama, I thank God for you. She said, because if it was not for us seeing you run your shop and be an entrepreneur, she said, I would not know what entrepreneurship looked like. She said, I would be stuck in a job that I'm not happy, stuck in a job that I got to beg for time to take my kids to the doctor, stuck in a job that I got to beg for time to have my baby birthday off. Like, and I didn't cultivate, like, I'm not begging nobody for my freedom. And so that made me feel good because it showed me that even though I didn't have an example, I became the example.
Yes.
And now my daughter exceeds me in income. Like, she exceeds me in income. And so that warms my heart that I showed them something different. Yeah, you know how to work too, but you also know how to go and build a business and build a successful, thriving business at that. And you went to college, but I offer her so many options. And I think that's our job as parents, who no one showed us because they didn't know. My mama didn't know. My granddaddy who raised her he worked at the factory. My grandmother was a stay-at-home mom. So she didn't know nothing but work. They didn't know nothing about credit. They didn't know anything about, like, right now. Girl, that's a whole nother topic. But it's so hard trying to change someone's mentality when they just don't know. They just don't know. So I thank God that we are our children's example to see something other than just work for somebody 100%. Else.
Yes. But I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead. I didn't take your
No, listen, y'all running it. You know me.
But entrepreneurship for me has been a journey. Girl, with this insurance license, I be thinking every day, look, I need to go get a job. I was like, I can go get a job making like $35 an hour with my insurance license. And every time, it was so funny, I had put in some applications, right? Because I'm trying to do something and I need some working capital. So anytime I go get a job, that's other people's money. I'm not looking at it as a job. I'm looking at I'm going to get some working capital. And God's so funny. I put in so many applications, girl. All of them said employee not selected. I said, you know what? I played with myself. God just had to remind me of who I am because I know doggone well I don't want to go and work for nobody. I don't want to be a slave to nobody's job, a slave to nobody's schedule. I need my money. But at the same time, I'm going to get that by digging deep into the gifts that God has given me. I truly believe that your gift will make room for you. But you got to do the work so that it can make room for you. It's not going to do the work for you. So entrepreneurship is not something easy. And then connections are definitely important. You got to be willing to connect because you don't know everything. Had I not been a networker, I would still be at the bottom of my industry. I wouldn't know what's new. I wouldn't know about insurance. I wouldn't know about all these things that I can incorporate into my base business that can make me another stream of income. So, yeah, it's really important to make those connections and understand what your vision is for your business so that you can run the play.
So as being the connector, right? That's the name, Mika Taylor, the connector. What are some of the things that you discovered while becoming into this mantra, this individual? What are some of the things you discovered along the way that, you know what, I was playing the game wrong in this endeavor? I'll give an example. So sometimes when I'm in these spaces, I'm trying to talk about grant writing and things of that nature. One of the things I used to tell people all the time, like, everybody can get a grant, right? And when I would say that phrase, I wasn't saying it in malice, like I'm saying it in real life. Anybody can get a grant. What I should have been saying at the beginning was, hey, everybody who put in the work can get a grant.
Right.
So as now, that person I was 2 or 3 years ago, like, man, anybody can get a grant, everybody can get a grant. No, everybody who put in the work and who putting themselves out there may possibly get a grant, but you shouldn't be just, listen, I got to keep defining it because
So one or two people can get a grant? What is the tagline there?
The reason why I'm saying it that way is because I realized, like, as I was trying to build these relationships with people and I'm trying to use my gift, I'm trying to appease people where they at versus give them real tangible data that can make them be successful. And I'm just asking, what are some of those things that you learned? Hey, man, some of the things I was saying to people, you know, that might have been like, I thought I was giving them the right game, but I realized, man, you know what? I might have been just shooting myself in the foot.
So I think, not I think, I know that I was giving them the right game. I just was giving the game to the wrong people.
There we go. Let's go.
So, there we go. It was never me doubting me, because Pete, when you're giving the information to the wrong people, they'll make you doubt yourself. They'll make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. They'll make you feel like you're not effective because they're not taking the information that you're giving them and they're applying it. So I learned that, again, I'm not for everybody. And two, everybody not for me. So everybody not my audience. So sometimes we're talking to dead weight. We're talking to people who they're there to spectate. Mm. They want to see how much they can get out of you without doing work. So that's the biggest takeaway for me, is that I found out that I was spitting the game to the wrong people. I was talking to the wrong people. I wasn't doing enough vetting. Because if you listen, I start being quiet and listening more, talking less and listening more. Because you could Google me and see everything I do. My website is TamikaTaylor.com. You can see everything that I've done almost on my website. So I start being quiet and listening more. And through listening, I was able to decipher, do I need to carry this conversation? Do this person, is this person even, I'm sorry for lack of a better choice of words, even worthy of the information that I have to share?
That was the right choice.
You know, like, are they even worthy? Because it's going to be a waste of my time. We already established time ain't a real thing. So we don't have time to waste with people who want to play. I'm here for the long run. I got grandkids. And I tell people that I don't have time to play with you. Either you about it or you're not about it. Even you want the work or you don't want the work. But either way it go, move around.
Yes. You heard what she said. Move around.
Move around. Because we got work to do.
That's how I became the villain in the stories. But anyway.
That's how you became the villain. Move around. Because I got stuff to do.
Look, now you just quiet. I mean, she couldn't even say that any better.
Listen, that's why I dropped the question like that. Because I knew she was going to give me one.
Yeah, because this game is crazy. And we also have to know what rooms we're placing ourselves in too. Every room is not for you, right? Mm. I'll speak about Boss Fest last year. That was a urging in my spirit to be in the room because I think I had missed it. I know I missed it the year before, right? And so it was on my agenda. I knew earlier that week when Taj had gave me a discount code. He said, I want you to be my guest. And when I got in the room, I was so excited to be there. And the thing that really did it for me, right, was when I met, I think his name Brandon, the content guy. Who else was there? It was another guy there, but everybody was like, so you Tamika Taylor? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Tamika Taylor. They like, you the reason why we couldn't get no photographer yesterday and this, this, and the third. So it put me in a space like, oh, they know my name. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was confirmation that I was supposed to be in that room at that time. And so we have to know what rooms we're supposed to be in. We have to know what invitations to accept. And we got to place ourselves there. If it's a room you're supposed to be in, get in there. I hear so many people talk about, girl, I just need a business class. Or I need this and I need that. And I'm like, a lot of us are looking for the same thing. Hello, Boss Fest is coming up. Hello, right. You got this coming up. And it's like, no, I'm still looking for... Move around, because you looking, but you're not seeking. So a lot of people are looking, but they're not seeking. And because they're not seeking, they are overlooking what's right underneath their nose.
Right. Or maybe they always want to be in a position of unknowing or always needing help for something. Because when you have the resource and you just won't take it, like, what is that? You just always... Kevin was talking to somebody. I'm not going to place the weekend because then they may know that I'm talking about them. But he was having this conversation. And this person was telling him how they needed help in their business. And Kevin was like, well, this is what you do. And he was laying it out. I was like, oh, you're doing a whole coaching session for this person. Mm-hmm. And they proceeded to say, hey, my coach is going to be in this spot, and like, you know, they charge $1,000 for a session, but we have an event where you can literally get in the room for as low as $85. And this, everything you ask me for, I'm going to lay it out in this whole event. Like, it will be there. It will all be the people there. You need for your resource. Like, let them hear what you're doing, and I'm sure they're going to gravitate and want to help and support you. And the person said, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to go there because, like, I seen it, but I just don't know. And I just looked at him like, it's time for you to, like, why are you even still sitting there entertaining them? Because they're telling you, I need help with this and I really want this. And you just said, here's this thing that's gonna be XYZ. And their response to you was, I don't know. And that's a crazy thing with us. Like, you need help, you want help, but then you won't help yourself get it.
Right. And one of my biggest things I used to say a couple years ago when I first got into, trying to build community is, I can't show you how to win and convince you to win. Like, you gotta already wanna win for me to be able to show you how to win.
Right.
So part of the job, the hardest part is some people don't even understand that they can win. They don't even, yes. They don't even see themselves as a winner. So you come in with this full plan, they don't even see it because they don't believe that they have what it takes to carry it out. So you right. just, Kevin, wasted however much of your time you wasted giving free game, pouring from your cup into a cup that got a hole on the bottom of it, when it's somebody out there who really will take yeah. what you have that may probably going to be a stranger, because people that know you for some reason play in your face. Like, yes. You not him or you not her, and they be looking at the end result. You be the evidence of what hard work can do, and they still think that you don't have value. And that's where I again go back to, we not for everybody and everybody not for us, because some people say they want it, but how bad do you want it? I know Eric Thomas said, you gotta want it as bad as you want to breathe.
Yes.
And until you want it like that, me and you can't talk. Because my children and my grandchildren and their children's children's life depend on what I do today. So maybe you don't have the same responsibility, but if you're not here to collaborate and make something happen, get out my way.
I'm just going to start saying that a lot. Like, just move around. I'm going to say that a lot. Because, and that's what you should have said, Kevin. Like, maybe they needed to be listening to Tabitha Brown. Because if you're not listening to me, maybe you need to get a job.
Right.
I didn't know the cup had a hole in it. Yeah. It's only until I started pouring water that I realized the cup had a hole in it.
Right.
But I learned to stop pouring once I saw the hole.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I say that a lot. That is my biggest weakness, is I don't see the hole in the cup until I've already started pouring. And then I always feel so sad. Like, I'm distraught afterwards. Like, dang, and I gave up my water and it was all worthless. So that, for me, that is the biggest lesson that I am still learning at my big grown age, is pouring into people who do not value what I'm giving or want to give that back.
But what I will say, I had a phone call on yesterday and it warmed my heart, because for every person or every 9 people that don't take your advice, it'll be that one person who you change their life. So I'm here for the one person who can tell me, Tamika, you told me something that changed my life. And it could be as simple as encouraging someone. I have a friend that she's always anxious. And I'm like, look, I have learned to control the things that I can control and leave the things I can't control to God. And so she had a situation, and I said, hey, this is how I friend. Come over, let's talk about it, we're gonna pray about it, and we're gonna let God do it. And the exact same way, I promise y'all, no lie, that I told her what happened, I said, by Tuesday. She called me yesterday and she said, today was the day. And I said, I told you, like, not that I was tooting my own horn, but I know what God deposits in me. So if I allow you to play with me, I'm allowing you to play with my gifts. And so when she told me how thankful she was, I said to myself, I said, thank you, God, for reassuring me that I'm doing my work in the earth. So as much as we may pour into an empty cup, we're not pouring from an empty cup. God is going to continue to fill us up. And sometimes we do got to pour into those empty cups until we realize, oh yeah, that's an empty cup. We ain't pouring over there. How you doing? Good luck, you know, and keep it moving. You know, we got to know where to spend our time. But I will say that right there, that one person that can come and say, Edwina, girl, that one thing I learned changed my life. Kevin, that one thing you told me, it changed my life. I started my business. I'm rejoicing, because for me, it's not about the money. It's about the impact.
That's powerful. And people have honestly said that about Boss Fest. And I have quit every year. I didn't quit 2024. But I have been quitting for like 3 or 4 years, and then I'll wake up randomly, and then I say, okay, so this is what we're going to do this year. And Kevin, we unquit? And I'm like, yeah,
just unquit.
It won't let go of me. And no matter how much money it is we spend, and I say, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to argue with you. And then I wake up and I'm like, he already know. Here we go. We doing it again.
Here goes some more money. Let's go.
It is one of those things where you say when it's in you, it's just in you. And like God won't let you stop because that's what you're supposed to do. So I completely receive that because people have come up to us. People I've never even met before were like, oh, I went to this Boss Fest. I'm like, I didn't even see you there. And they're like, yes, but I started my business and I did this. I'm like, that's amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just hearing like, and I always get into a room and it'll be whether it's the people on the stage, somebody next to me, it's always something that I feel like I was supposed to be there to receive. And I always try to tell people that too. Like when you get in a Boss Fest, it may not be the speaker on the stage that you were supposed to meet. It could have been the person that was sitting right next to you that you're supposed to connect with. And you don't know until you get in that room. But I promise you, there's always a reason because there's never not been one for me that never I was not. Supposed to be there.
Right. Every room I've had the opportunity to be in, I was supposed to be there. It was life changing. I'll never forget one of the biggest investments I made in my life. Was I believe 20, it had to be 21. I went to Stormy Wellington's The Awakening. Mm-hmm. And that was a $3,000 ticket by itself. Not to get there, not to stay. I probably spent about $10,000 on that weekend. Wow. But I came back and I was a different person. I did so many things that I had on the table, like I implemented, I was active. And so I tell people, when you can't be afraid to invest in yourself. You can't, first of all, you can't be afraid to invest in yourself. Because you got to think about it. Now you're asking for other people to invest in you and you won't even invest in you.
Right.
Make it make sense, right? And so I'm really big on getting into the right rooms. I don't have to be in every room, but I'm big on getting into the right rooms. And I'm big on creating the rooms that I feel like I need. And that's kind of where my creative comes from. I give what I know I need. My relation with women is either I've been through it and I'm evidence you can come out of it, or I'm right there in the thick of it with you, girl, let's do this together. And that's how Girl, Let's Do Lunch was born, was out of the fact that me and my homegirls have so many ideas. We'll be like, girl, let's go to lunch. Whether we do personal development, we going to lunch and doing it. So I'm like, God wanted me to help women during the pandemic get the money, right? And I'm like, how am I going to help them? And I'm not where I need to be. And God said, y'all gonna do it together. And so Girl, Let's Do Lunch is a platform where real women CEOs don't compete, we eat. Let's do lunch, because there's enough for all of us. At the end of the day, we get so much more done together than as an individual.
Yes.
So that's what I believe in. I really just wish that, and I'm not apologizing. I wish Black women would really see the value in linking up with other Black women who are educated and quit being so so bougie for no reason. So, you know, humble yourself and introduce yourself, because I ain't gonna lie, before I met you, I'm like, she look mean, you know what I'm saying? That was my encounter. But at the end of the day, I've learned that I don't judge a book based on its cover. So I'm gonna approach you and introduce myself, because we've been Facebook friends. I see what you're doing. The only thing I stand to lose is that if you rude to me. Now, if you rude to me, then, oh, yeah, she means. I'm going to keep it moving. But you weren't rude. You in grind mode. Like, people don't understand. Sometimes people have what they call the resting face, right? Because you're in these thoughts. But you're thinking. You're creative. You be in the room at Boss Fest probably thinking about, oh, I should have did this like this. Or next year, we're going to do this. So you can't be afraid in business to approach people. You got to be approachable, and you got to know that in business, you can't be afraid to forge relationships. And I can say, I think that I forged our relationship because you were somebody, y'all was somebody I wanted to get to know, because y'all doing Boss Fest, I'm doing Bosses Brunch. Man, listen, we got the same initiative. How can we link up? And I ain't trying to spend all this money over here. Like, I spent a lot of money last year. What can we do?
Oh,
because
Jesus.
We have the same vision for the people.
Right.
And that's what people miss. Oh, this is mine. I want my name on the building. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm Tamika Taylor. So it don't matter who name on the building. It does not change who I am. I am her. I am my brand. So long as you know me, it doesn't matter if I came and I'm a part of Boss Fest. It doesn't take anything from me. What it shows people is that I have value. You have value. We put our value together to provide even more value. And we're not being selfish while we're doing it.
That is 100%. And we tell people all the time, because like the stage in Boss Fest isn't even a stage that we occupy ourselves. What we try to do is share that stage with people we feel like you, like someone coming to see, can get game from. And that can be, yeah, you know, entrepreneur from anywhere. So it's not about gatekeeping at all. And right, I definitely appreciate you like forging that relationship, because people do look at me and they're like, oh, you look mean. I tell people I'm going to stay young for a long time because my face just don't be smiling like that.
No, but, right.
But nonetheless, it's a big bag that you drop on these events, and people don't understand what that looks like. And it's not about someone's name, because when you get to the stage where you like, I just want to collaborate, and you understand that collaboration actually gets you further, everybody gonna eat regardless. So it don't matter whose name's on what, and oh, I did this and I did that. Are we getting a bag? Because maybe like I got a coaching program and they can use me for whatever, and I can be like, you know what, but Tamika do this, and that's your specialty, and now I can refer them to you. But there was two sums of money that we both could have got, you know what I mean? But you can't do that unless you're collaborating and you're working together. And I always tell people, because a lot of people don't look at Atlanta, but I'm like, man, take like just a bird's eye view of what's happening in some of the entrepreneur communities in Atlanta, where these people will have a conference every other weekend, and you got one person throwing a conference, but everybody in the friend group go speak and add value. And then they do it again the next weekend. I'm like, that is where everybody was able to eat, because we all worked that out where I'm going to do this and I'm going to add value over here. Why can't we do that here and bring the knowledge? Why do we have to be so far behind where they are? Like, there's talented people here the same way, but we're killing ourselves not working together, because what do we want, the spotlight? Like, that's crazy. We don't get paid.
It'd be
for
hot
spotlights.
In the spotlight. Yeah, we don't get paid for the spotlight. It'd be hot. We have no makeup. It'd be hot. In the spotlight, give me backstage all day. You hear me?
Right, where is the money at? Like, look for the paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it'd be baffling. But 100%, like, we've always said, like, hey, we would do a collaboration. And I think at one time we had entertained it, and then we realized, like we talked about before, maybe this ain't the right cup, because people don't understand like what this vision is. Like, we protect it like with everything we have, because we want it to really be no gatekeeping, a complete collaboration, where not someone's coming in and trying to be like, hey, this is like my thing. I'm like, no, this is almost like a nonprofit, but not where people are coming. But not. Because I want people to be like, man, I walked into this community and I was able to find so much value everywhere I turned. This person that they referred me to really helped me, like, with the website. They helped me, you know, build this funnel. Before I started, I didn't even know how to do an LLC. But coming through them and meeting this person and meeting that person has leveled me up on, like, you know, such a higher level. That's the value we want them to get. Not about, like, hey, well, I connected with this person and this person said this. Like, you gotta keep that out. So I'm really excited that you said that, because I always find that sometimes in women groups you don't really see that.
You really don't.
And I don't even see the men, Kevin. I'm just gonna be honest. I just don't even be seeing the men.
Listen, we as men are a little different. We do work, we connect, we network. We do it differently though. Women are more vocal. And we got to get better at it. But, you know, it is getting close to that time.
So. Wait, did we lose Tamika? Do you see her?
Sometimes my internet be messy. You be saying I don't see that. I don't see that. See that?
A call came through and tried to knock me loose.
That's what I said. I figured that call came through.
Yeah.
That's what typically happens. But listen, y'all. Hopefully y'all got some game tonight. Tamika came. She delivered some action items. If you hadn't got enough of this, you'll be able to see her on the Boss Fest stage October 5th, giving game, giving action. And sometimes when you in the moment, it just that energy is more infectious. So
yes,
for those out there listening today, and you want to use code Tamika, spell a name, put it in the thing, you get a
discount. It's Mocha.
Mocha. Damn it. Yeah. Thank you. I wrote the damn code and messed it up. Mocha.
I was going to say, you gave all the code.
I wrote the code and messed it up. See, that's everybody else right. is there now. Everybody else is there. Mocha. There it is. Club code Mocha. And that way you can get a discount off of your ticket, any level price, Boss Academy, General Admission, VIP, even the vendor ticket. So take advantage of that. Before we close it out, anything any one of you ladies want to say?
I just want to tell them to get in the room. The way the economy is going, you're going to have to find a room. I can't remember. 2019, I met this lady at an event, and she told me, I'll never forget it. She said, by the year 2026, the majority of African Americans are going to be in entrepreneurship. And so I feel like with the way things are going, the jobs are not paying enough money to survive. We have to start using our talents because God gave us all something that can make money for us. So get in the room and start opening up your mind to the things that God has already placed on the inside of you and come and get this work because it's going to be work in the building, not just on the stage, but the people that are going to fill the room are entrepreneurs as well. Don't miss the opportunity to be in a room full of bosses like yourself that want to see you win. Like it's right here in Brandon. Like the ticket is, this not a $500 or $600 ticket. It's peanut, you know, no insult right. to injury, but you guys made it very affordable. So anybody from a beginner entrepreneur to a successful seasoned entrepreneur can afford to be in this room that is really underpriced because it's so full of value. You can walk away with an $80 investment with six figures worth of value. So get your ticket.
I'm glad somebody else said it.
Can she be on the ad team too? Like, for real, for real.
And we did that intentionally, but I don't even think people understand. That's why, you know what? Next year, I'm going to make sure I'm intentional with...
with raising the price? Today's price? Yes, yesterday's price. Not today's price.
Not today's price. Yep.
Boy.
And I will go ahead and do this. Just a little caveat I've been learning. You know, coaches, go ahead and have that promo code for VIP tickets like Sarah Jackson be doing before you leave the event. Put that code up real high. You know, and they give a little discount if you get it right now. That's
yep. how he already said. Ready. Yep.
So I'm going to get my ticket before we leave the room. So that's another thing. Like, so now you know who ain't playing.
Look, great minds think alike, because when I tell you, he said, make sure we had it last night, he said, we got to make sure we had it. Yes. So that is crazy. Yes. But yes, it is definitely undervalued. And people don't realize when you invest in yourself, like these aren't small investments we make to like further our entrepreneurship and our knowledge, like, and to bring these coaches to us. It's not like, you know what I'm saying?
You got to fly out. They have paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not coming for free.
They are not coming for free. And when you say like, hey, I could have used that investment and just invested in our own business, but we literally are like, let's share the gift because this could help somebody else out. So when you say pennies on a dollar, it really is that, because where can you go somewhere where David Shands, I podcast on it, I think he charged $2,500 for a coaching session. You mm-hmm. can get him at Boss Fest for $250.
Yeah.
So like, it just doesn't compare, but people have to take advantage of that
because
it's here, it's in front of us. And I wish when I was starting, you know, 4 years ago, I didn't throw money away. I had a room like this where I can ask the right questions and follow the right path, because you'll throw thousands of dollars away not knowing what you don't know.
Yeah.
Just get in the room.
Yes, just get in the room. That's it. Either get in the room or move around.
Move around. Look, that is the word. Move around.
Put it on the shirt.
2025, move around got me.
Move around, yeah.
You put that on
thank y'all for having me, though. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to access your platform and your audience. It's definitely a pleasure to be here. And I don't count it. It's a privilege. And so I just look forward to working with you guys more in depth, even beyond the Boss Fest, and just, you know, collaborating for years to come and really making an impact in our community together. Showing them absolutely. In real time what collaboration over competition
yes.
is like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She hit you right there. You had to do the...
You had to suck that one in.
Before Kevin close us out, tell them how they can follow you, how they can join the community, how they can stay connected to you.
So my website is www.tamikataylor.com. You can join the connector there by clicking on Join the Connector tab. We also have a free community on Facebook called The Connector, where you can get some of the gems that we drop in the private community for free. On Instagram, I am the entrepreneur influencer, because that's how I started, because I will influence you to quit your job. And so then I pivoted from there to The Connector. So they wouldn't let me change my name on IG. So the entrepreneur influencer on IG, Tamika Taylor, website, Tamika Taylor on Facebook, Tamika Taylor on TikTok. So yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go
follow. That's all you asked me for, right? To tell them where they can find me.
Yes, where they can find you.
Okay. And my salon is in Winter Haven, Florida. I do still do hair actively. I specialize in natural hair and extensions. So my salon is located in Winter Haven, right outside, right off of 92. I do insurance. Y'all just get at your girl. I'm going to be at Boss Fest with all of the resources that I can provide while collaborating with the other bosses in the building to see how we can give you more value.
And the after school program is on the website.
Yes. The after school program is not on the website. But they can go on my Facebook page. There is a link. I'm actually going to repost it. Actually, it's pinned to my Facebook page, the job form for them to sign up and all of the pertinent information on how they can register. Seats are still open. I'm not going to close it out because the curriculum can be circulated, like rotated. It's on a rotation. So we are going to be taking enrollments until we are full, and my capacity is 15. So right now we still have quite a few seats available, and it's something that's new, but I definitely want people to understand the value that's going to be in this after school program. We're not just babysitting. We're actually teaching them a skill that can generate income.
Look, I know you're ready to close us out. I'm just going to say one more thing. I just want to read this comment why Tamika is still here. So Wanda said, Tamika Taylor, you have a powerful voice. Now I know Tamika Taylor. So I just wanted to say that. So she was listening.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say that. I know Kevin going to be like, if y'all don't move around so we can close this
out. Okay, Kevin, we sorry.
But we want to thank you for joining us. And listen, y'all, this is just a tidbit of a real conversation that entrepreneurs have here at the Boss's Table. Get in the room at Boss Fest, because when I tell you the gems are going to be undeniable, they really are going to be that. And people are sharing their stories, they are sharing their gems and helping you level up. Go to www.boss-fest.com and get your ticket today. Use code MOCHA to save 20% on any ticket level. You got it, Kevin. I'm done.
And that is it. We out this day. Y'all have a great one. See you next Wednesday. See you at Boss Fest. Peace.